The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, here we are, y'all. The last week of the regular season of the NFL. How crazy is that? It feels like it just started. Well, I'm a Cowboys fan, so I've been getting ass raped all fucking season long. I mean, this season could not end soon enough. I've pretty much been saying that since fucking week three. I don't know, man, but it's been a long ass season for a Cowboys fan. So I personally am happy we are here at the end of the regular season because, ooh. God, it just couldn't end sooner. But it's always just crazy how fast we get here, and here we are. So let's first, before we get into the Week 18 matchups, see where we're at with the playoffs. We only have a couple of spots remaining open for a couple of teams to sneak in, but pretty much the playoffs are set. So let's start on the AFC. Number one overall seed, Kansas City Chiefs, 15-1. They are going to be the number one overall seed. It looks like most of their players will not be playing this weekend because they've locked up the number one seed. Number two overall seed, also locked up by the Buffalo Bills. They are 13-3 on the season. Probably not going to play their starters this weekend either. Number three overall seed is actually still up for grabs. Right now, it is the Baltimore Ravens at 11-5. They do have their division on lock right now. If they win, obviously, they keep the division. But the Pittsburgh Steelers have an outside chance of still winning this division. And then the number four overall seed is the Houston Texans at 9-7, and they have locked down this seed. Number five overall seed right now, Pittsburgh Steelers at 10-6. Number six overall seed, the Los Angeles Chargers at 10-6. And the number seven overall seed, the Denver Broncos at 9-7. They have not locked down their playoff seeding yet. All the Broncos have to do is win, and they are in. On the outside looking in right now, we have the Miami Dolphins and the Cincinnati Bengals, who not only need to win this weekend, but they also need some help from the Denver Broncos to lose. Then on the NFC side of things, with our number one overall seed right now, it's the Detroit Lions at 14-2. That could change depending on what happens between their matchup between them and the Minnesota Vikings. But whoever wins that matchup wins their division and is the number one overall seed. Number two overall seed right now, Philadelphia Eagles, 13-3. They do have that seed on lockdown, and it looks like they're going to be sitting their starters this weekend because they have nothing to play for. Number three overall seed, the Los Angeles Rams at 10-6. Number four overall seed, which is the only spot left in the NFC. Right now, it is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who have their division on lock at 9-7, with the Atlanta Falcons with an outside chance looking in. Number five overall seed right now, the Minnesota Vikings at 14-2. Number six overall seed, the Washington Commanders at 11-5. And the number seven overall seed, the Green Bay Packers at 11-5. And like I said, the only team with an outside shot in the NFC is the Atlanta Falcons. It's just a division battle between them and the Bucs. If the Bucs win, they are in. If the Bucs lose and the Falcons win, then the Falcons are in. But, you know, that's pretty much looking like the Bucs just have to win and they're in. So let's get to Week 18 and what we have. Also, a head-to-head matchup with Simon Ruvel. Kaba. He unfortunately has not got me his picks for this week, but that's probably because he is completely out of it. I've won. We've pretty much conceded that much, but I'm sure he is going to send me his picks because Simon does not give up. He is a true player until the very end. But last week I went 11-5, bringing my season total up to 174 wins and 82 losses. He went 12-4 last week, bringing his season total up to 152 wins and 104 losses. So obviously, I completely demolished him. But like I said, he did not send me his picks for this week, but I would not be shocked if he sends me his picks later on, and we'll see. But obviously, I have won the head-to-head matchup for, I believe this is the fourth or fifth season in a row we've been doing it. I've won it every single year, and this was by far my biggest ass-kicking But I will let y'all know Simon has had some health issues over the last year. So we'll go ahead and give him the benefit of the doubt on this one. But still, how does that explain the previous 3 years, dude? I don't know. But anyways, I kicked his ass this year. So let's get on to week 18 and the rest of the NFL games. Now, obviously, we did not have a Thursday night football game this week, and no more Monday night football either. We do have one more Monday night football matchup. It's going to be a playoff matchup, obviously, next week. But as far as week 18 in the regular season goes, it ends on Sunday night football. So we do have Saturday games this week, beginning with the two Saturday games. The Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens. Right now, the Ravens are a 17.5-point favorite, which sounds about right because the Browns are completely out of it. Now, I wouldn't be shocked if the Browns show up, obviously. I mean, they want to take a shit on the Ravens' day. But Baltimore, they seem to be getting better as the season wears on, and they look poised and ready for a playoff run. I think Baltimore is going to demolish the Browns 42-7. Then the second game on Saturday, the Cincinnati Bengals at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, the Bengals are a 2.5-point favorite. This one, I went back and forth on it because the Steelers just haven't been playing that well, especially the last couple of weeks. The Bengals are holding on, and they definitely need some help. But I think they're going to be playing their hearts out. They've been playing really well on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm leaning towards the Bengals in this one, 27-21, simply because the Steelers just have not played consistent football lately. And the Bengals actually have. I mean, they're on the outside looking in the playoffs, but I mean, offensively, they're pretty difficult to stop. And the Steelers actually haven't looked that stout defensively as they did to start the season. So I've got the Bengals winning this one 27-21. Then our Sunday games, we started off with the Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Falcons are a 7.5-point favorite, and as I said, they need this win to get into the playoffs. Carolina, they've been playing pretty solid football the last couple of months, especially since Bryce Young's come back at the quarterback. They've actually been playing pretty well. But the Falcons actually have something to play for, and I do feel like this is going to be a good game overall. I mean, it is a division battle, so I do expect the Panthers to give it their all in this one. But I've got the Falcons winning a close one, 23-20. Then we have the Washington Commanders at the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, the Cowboys are a 3.5-point favorite. I don't know how that happened. I must be the home field advantage here or some shit. But Washington could use the win simply for the seeding advantage in this. But I mean, overall, they're good where they're at. But with that being said, like I said, I never pick against my Cowboys, so I'm not picking against them in this one. I've just got the Cowboys defense showing up, and I've just got them showing up in this last one just to give Mike McCarthy one last hurrah if it ends up being his last game. I think they're going to send him off into the sunset with a win, or if this ends up being just the last game of the season, I just got them winning 24-14. Then we have the Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Packers are a 10.5-point favorite. The Bears just have not been playing good football at all. Their offense hasn't been able to get going, and then defensively, they just have not looked good at all. Whereas the Packers, you know, they're coming off of that tough loss to the Vikings last week, so I think they're just going to bounce back and have a nice game this week and get the big win over the Chicago Bears, 30-17. Then we have the Houston Texans at the Tennessee Titans. Right now, the Titans are a 4.5-point favorite. Houston, who knows if they're going to play their starters in this one. I kind of feel like it's going to be one of those where they're going to start their starters and then maybe sit them as the game wears on because Houston has already made the playoffs. They don't really have much to play for. But I do have them winning a close one, 20-16. Then we have the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Indianapolis Colts. Right now, the Colts are a 5.5-point favorite. Neither team is playing for anything other than pride. With that being said, I just think the Colts are the better team. So I've got the Colts winning a close one, 23-17. Then we have the Buffalo Bills at the New England Patriots. Right now, the Bills are a 2.5-point favorite. Even though the Bills aren't going to be playing any of their starters, I still think they're the better team. New England actually benefits from losing because they are the number one overall pick in the draft. So if they want to keep that spot, they might as well lose this one. So I've got the Bills winning 28-10. Then we have the New York Giants at the Philadelphia Eagles. Right now, the Eagles are a 3.5-point favorite. Even though the Eagles are going to be playing their backups, the Giants have basically been the backups all season long. They have not really... They did play a good game last week, but whatever. I don't really think they're that good of a team, and I still think even the Eagles' backups are better than what the Giants have going on with their starters. So I have the Eagles winning this one 27-10. Then we have the New Orleans Saints at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Buccaneers are a 13.5-point favorite. The Bucs just need to win this, and they are in the playoffs. And I mean, real talk, the Buccaneers have just been killing it. The Saints are on basically their third-string player at each and every position, so they really don't have much to play for either. I just think the Buccaneers are going to roll in this one 31-13. Then our afternoon games, we have the Kansas City Chiefs at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are an 8.5-point favorite. The Chiefs are playing their backups in this one. The Broncos need to win and get in, so with that being said, I think the Broncos are going to play their hearts out. And I felt like this was going to be a good game, even if the Chiefs were going to play their starters, because the Broncos have a lot to play for. Their defense is really stout. So I've got the Broncos winning this one 28-17. Then we have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Las Vegas Raiders. Right now, the Chargers are a 5.5-point favorite. The Chargers are already in the playoffs. It's pretty much smooth sailing for them. They don't have a lot to play for, but I kind of feel like they want to roll into the playoffs with a win. The Raiders have absolutely nothing to play for, and this team is also basically down to third stringers at a lot of their positions. So they're just ready to hit the offseason. And I've got the Chargers winning this one 24-7. Then we have the Seattle Seahawks at the Los Angeles Rams. Right now, the Seahawks are a 2.5-point favorite. The Rams are they haven't announced that they're going to be playing their backups, but I kind of feel like that's what the Rams are going to do. The Rams basically started this, we're just playing our backups until we need to play our starters, and it probably is smart for them to just play their backups in this one because they just got to get ready for the playoffs. Whereas the Seahawks, they have nothing to play for, obviously. They are out of playoff contention, but I still think this is going to be a good game. And I've got the Rams winning this one 20-17. Then we have the Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. Right now, the Dolphins are a 2.5-point favorite. It's actually looking like Tua Tagovailoa is going to miss yet another game. I did not know that at the time when I made my prediction. But with that being said, the Jets have absolutely nothing to play for. It kind of feels like the Jets have been falling. I mean, they've been falling apart all season long, but it feels like each and every week they just fall further and further apart. So I kind of feel like the Jets are probably already on vacation at this point. So I have the Dolphins winning a close one 24-23. Then we have the San Francisco 49ers at the Arizona Cardinals. Right now, the Niners are a 1.5-point favorite. It doesn't look like Purdy's going to be playing in this one, but I don't know, man. The Niners just don't look like that good of a team. Arizona doesn't look like that good of a team either, but for some reason, I'm just leaning towards Arizona in this one. They're at home. Neither team has much to play for, but I just kind of feel like Arizona's going to go out on a good note in this one, and I've got Arizona winning 27-10. Then really the only legitimate game of the weekend is our Sunday night football matchup, and that is the Minnesota Vikings at the Detroit Lions. Right now, the Lions are a 2.5-point favorite. As I said before, this is for the number one overall seed, and it's pretty crazy, too. We're heading into this game with two 14-win teams headed for the division win. To me, the Detroit Lions have been the most consistent team all season long. They have kicked everybody's ass. They have, even in their two losses, they've just been barely losses. They could have won those games easily. This team, it just kind of feels like they bounce back. Every time they're punched in the mouth, they bounce back every single motherfucking time. It's just like Dan Campbell said at his opening press conference when he took over as head coach for this team. He said, when we get knocked down, I want us to come back up and bite a kneecap. When we get knocked back down again, I want us to come back up and bite another kneecap. That is how this team plays. And they just don't fall apart. And until they fall apart, I'm not picking against the Lions. And that goes all the way until the Super Bowl. To me, right now, the Lions are my favorite to win it all. Just because they play so fucking consistent. Now, with that being said, I really like what I've seen from the Vikings. The Vikings have been so good offensively, defensively. They're such a complete team. They're a very well-coached team as well. So I don't think there's a lot of weakness with them either. But to me, like I keep saying, the Lions have been the most consistent team all season long. They've been punched in the mouth and they come back every time. Offensively, they are nothing to fuck with. I feel like if they're a team that just gets in an offensive battle where it's back and forth, I'm probably taking them every single time because they just are that fucking good. But I do think this is going to be a good game. I don't think Minnesota's going to roll over in this one, and I think it's going to be a battle till the very, very bitter end. I've got Detroit winning a close one, 28-26, and I'm only leaning towards Detroit in this one because they've played the more consistent football. I do believe in the Vikings. I would not be shocked to see the Vikings in the Super Bowl. Obviously, I won't get to any playoff predictions until we get to the playoffs, but I think both the Vikings and the Lions are championship competitors and definitely have a shot at the Super Bowl. But to me, the Lions, even with the AFC teams, the Lions are the most consistent football team this year. They don't have a weakness other than their injuries. And so far, those injuries have yet to be an issue. And they've lost a whole lot of dudes this year. So until the Lions lose, I'm actually not picking against the Lions. Spoiler alert, I'm probably picking the Lions to maybe even win the Super Bowl. Like I said, I haven't seen any of the matchups. Obviously, we got to get through this weekend, but I wouldn't be shocked if once I get to my my playoff predictions, I wouldn't be shocked if I ended up with the Lions as the champions. Obviously, like I said, we'll get there when we get there, but I think the Lions are just hands down the best overall team, playing the most consistent football, and have yet to really have any type of weakness or issue at all this season. But we've got a long way to go. All right, so speaking of playoffs, let's get to the college football playoff quarterfinals. We really only had one good game. It's pretty funny because the first round, it was all ass kickings, and the teams that didn't belong played like shit. And it was almost identical in this quarterfinals matchup. There was only one legitimate matchup, but other than that, they were pretty much all ass kickings. And it was actually pretty funny too, because every team that got a bye week in the quarterfinal, they all, four of them, lost. So let's start with the first matchup. We had Penn State versus Boise State, and Penn State demolished Boise State 31-14. As I said, this was Boise State's chance to prove whether or not they belonged with the big boys, and it was obvious from the jump they did not belong with the big boys because Penn State just was gone, and they just kept scoring, and it was never, ever, ever close at any point. Penn State got the win 31-14. Their quarterback, Aller, he went 13-for-25, 171 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Their receiver, Warren, had 2 touchdowns. Their running back had a couple of touchdowns as well. Their defense is so damn good. To me, right now, I know they're actually not the favorite in Vegas, and this says a lot because my Texas Longhorns are still in it. But if you ask me who I think is the best team remaining in the college football playoff, I think it's Penn State. They've been playing great on offense, and they've been playing great on defense, and they're going to be a really difficult team to stop. Then the second matchup we had in the college football playoff quarterfinals ended up being the only good game, was between my Texas Longhorns and Arizona State. It went into double overtime, and Texas was lucky to walk away with this win 39-31. And I say that because, man, we had the lead. We had the lead in the fourth quarter, 24-8. And when the Longhorns went up to get the 24 points, I basically breathed a sigh of relief because I'm like, okay, good. We got this. And then all of a sudden, we just started to fall apart in the fourth fucking quarter. And I got to say, this was mostly on Sark. There were a couple of, I mean, obviously the ground attack, it was terrible, but that's going to happen. The ground game is going to fade out at some point. And that was our main issue this day. The defense, I keep telling you, this Texas Longhorns defense, they make the key plays each and every game, and they did in this one. They made some great red zone stops. They made a great fourth and goal line stop. And then, of course, the great interception in double overtime to seal the win for the Texas Longhorns, 39-31. But gotta say, the player of the game was Cam Scadaboo for Arizona State. He had 143 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns on the ground. 94 yards receiving, and then he also had a touchdown pass as well. So the guy, he was on the side vomiting because that's how hard this guy was going. He just was going hard, and once he got going too, this team was really difficult to stop. And once they got within 8 points, I still wasn't really worried until stupid ass Sark became the smartest guy in the room. And I don't know what the fuck he was thinking. But the Longhorns get the ball back. We've got an 8-point lead here. There's about 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So I'm thinking to myself, let's just run the clock out. Well, Sark's like, no, man, I'm the smartest man in the room. Let's pass it. Because Quinn Ewers is just itching to throw an interception, too. Let's just let him throw an interception. So first and 10, stupid idiots pass the ball. And it's not a complete pass. So second and 10, oh, gee, we get us a false start, backs us up to second and 15. So second and 15, gotta fucking pass the ball yet again. He passes the ball, nothing. Third and 15, stupid-ass Ewers drops back to pass and throws us an interception. And Arizona State gets the ball back. They tie the game up. And Texas still actually has some time on the clock. We drive down the field, get in field goal range, miss the field goal. So we go into stupid fucking overtime. And, you know, Arizona State, they get the ball first in overtime. They score. Boom. They're up 7. Texas, I don't know what the hell it was on this one. Because, you know, watching Ewers, he's either really fucking inaccurate or he's just throws a dart. And in both of these overtimes, this motherfucker's throwing darts. On 4th and 13, I'm just like on my knees praying to the God I don't believe in. And I'm just like, what is going to happen here? We're just going to lose it. No, and he fucking throws a dart, tie the game up, going to double overtime. So we get the ball back first. Boom. Comes right out, throws another fucking dart. We go up and we score the 2-point conversion too. So it's Arizona State. They have a couple of plays and boom, throw the interception and Longhorns walk off. And we are so lucky we got this one because, man, the way it looked, Arizona State, they were the better team on the field this day. And it was just Texas, our big plays from our big guys, because we had a punt return for a touchdown. I feel like that was the play of the game because that was about the only thing we had going for us in the first half. And then we are not a very good second half team. At least these last few games, we have not been. So Longhorns still got the win, but we've got us a big matchup next Friday. Then we had Ohio State versus Oregon, and Oregon forgot to show up in this one. Ohio State demolished Oregon. I mean, at halftime, what was it, like 31 to nothing? 28 to nothing? I think it was 31 to nothing. I know it was a lot. And Oregon had yet to score. Oregon did get it going in the second half, but it was way too little, way too late. Ohio State just smashed Oregon 41-21. Howard, their quarterback, went 17 for 26, 319 yards and 3 touchdowns. Ohio State looked really damn good against Oregon. Oregon's offense looked completely inept and just could not get anything going until the second half. And even in the second half, did not look that great either. And then the last matchup we had was Notre Dame versus Georgia. And this one was all Notre Dame all day. Georgia did score first, but Notre Dame, man, defensively, I mean, actually both defenses were taking care of business in the first half. But Notre Dame, man, to end the first half, in the second quarter, they get this huge defensive play. Defender gets a fumble, sets them up in the red zone, boom, score a touchdown, head into halftime with the lead, and then come right out in the third quarter, they get the kickoff, and a kickoff return for a touchdown starts off the third quarter, and Notre Dame literally just never looks back. Notre Dame gets a big win, 23-10, and so, yeah, we'll go over our semifinal matchups probably, on Monday's show, since the games are on Thursday and Friday next week, so we'll go over those matchups on Monday, but it's actually kind of funny, all the teams that got the bye weeks all lost. All right, so let's get to this week's list. Now, as you know, Saquon Barkley became the ninth running back in the history of the NFL to eclipse 2,000 yards in a season. It's only happened 9 times in the history of the NFL. So with that being said, I decided to make my top five list, the top five 2,000-yard rushers on the season. But before we get to the list, let's kind of go over the 2,000-yard rushers since there's only 9 of them. Now, Saquon, he's not playing this week, unfortunately, so he's not going to break the all-time record, which obviously we'll get to that because I'm going to break down the entire list of the 9 guys who have ever done it. But unfortunately, Saquon's not going to get that opportunity this week because obviously the playoffs are much, much, much more important than an individual record. The 2,000-yard rushers, who's done it? It started off in 1973 with O.J. Simpson for the Buffalo Bills. He ended up with 2,003 rushing yards on the season. Then the second guy to ever do it was in 1984, Eric Dickerson, which is an all-time record. He has 2,105 rushing yards in the 1984 season. So that's what Saquon was going for. Obviously he needed at least 100 yards to get it. And not saying Saquon couldn't do that. Obviously he could do that. But, I mean, you'd rather have him ready for the playoffs. But Eric Dickerson, he still is the all-time record holder for the most rushing yards in one season. And that is 2,105 yards. Then the third time it happened was in 1997. Barry Sanders with the Detroit Lions. Oh, by the way, when Eric Dickerson did it, he was with the Los Angeles Rams. The third time it happened was in 1997 with Barry Sanders with the Detroit Lions. He went for 2,053 yards that season. Then the fourth time for it to happen was in 1998, the following season. Terrell Davis with the Denver Broncos. He went 2,008 rushing yards. Then the fifth time it happened was in 2003 with Jamal Lewis with the Baltimore Ravens. He went for 2,066 yards, so he came fairly close to that Eric Dickerson record. Then the sixth time it happened was in 2009 with Chris Johnson with the Tennessee Titans. He had 2,006 rushing yards on the season. Then the seventh time it happened was in 2012, Adrian Peterson with the Minnesota Vikings. He came really close. I mean, it was so fucking close. It's insane that he did not break the record. He was so close. He got to 2,097 rush yards. He was only, what is that, friggin' 6? Yeah, because Eric Dickerson was at 2,105. Peterson, 2,097 yards. So he just came that close to even tying the record. Then the eighth time it happened was in 2020 with Derrick Henry with the Tennessee Titans. He rushed for 2,027 yards. And then, of course, the most recent time it happened was this year, Saquon Barkley with the Philadelphia Eagles, 2,005 rushing yards. So I broke it down with the top five 2,000 rushing yard seasons. Now, I didn't count Saquon Barkley because when I put together the list, I didn't actually know if he was going to even eclipse it. And plus, you know, he just got here. So I'm not really counting him. And also this list, it's only their 2,000-yard rushing season. It's not their entire career. It has nothing to do with that. It's simply only the season they eclipsed 2,000 yards. So here is my top five 2,000-yard rushing seasons. Beginning with number 5, and that is Jamal Lewis. He did it in 16 games. Of course, I said he reached 2,066 yards in that season, in the 2003 season. His yards per game, he averaged 129.1 yards per game. It is crazy to look at how much these guys averaged per game. I mean, they all averaged well over 100 yards per game, which is just crazy, especially in today's day and age. But Saquon, he did it. The thing that stood out most to me with Jamal Lewis and his run here is that he actually had, still to this day, has the game with the most rushing yards ever. And that was, he had a game where he rushed for 295 yards. Yes, 295. He was 5 yards away from 300 rushing yards. How insane is that? But that's what really stood out to me, and that's why he made the list. Then at number four in my top five 2000 rushing yard seasons, I have Barry Sanders. He did it in 16 games as well, got 2,053 yards in the 1997 season. He averaged 128.3 yards per game, and his biggest rushing game was a 216-yard rushing game. Then at number three on my top five 2,000 rushing yard seasons, Adrian Peterson. He did it in 16 games. He ended up with 2,097 yards. That is why I put him at three, because he barely missed it. I remember this season, too. Adrian Peterson was just running over people. He was such an amazing running back to watch. And it was crazy just to see him fall just that short of the record on the last game of the season. He averaged 131.1 yards per game. And his biggest game of the season was for 212 yards in one game. Number two on my top five 2,000-yard rushing seasons, Eric Dickerson. He did it in 16 games. He ended up with 2,105 rushing yards, which, of course, as I said, is the all-time rushing record, which has yet to be broken. As I said, Adrian Peterson came close. Barry Sanders also came close. Jamal Lewis also came close. Saquon was close. Now, if he would have done it, it would have been in it would have been in 17 games. So I still probably would have put Eric Dickerson over above Saquon had he broke the record, simply because he did it in less games. But anyways, Eric Dickerson, he averaged 131.6 yards per game. And his biggest game of that season was a 215-yard rushing game. But number one on my top five 2,000 rushing seasons of all time is O.J. Simpson. Not only was he the first to do it, but he did it in 14 games. Because when he played football, that's how many games in a season they had. That is why it is so insane that he eclipsed 2,000 yards. I mean, I know not only did O.J. Simpson play like way back in the day. I mean, this was in 1973 when he had a 2,000 rushing yard mark. But so many people do not realize how amazing O.J. Simpson was at running back. I mean, and also I know because most people these days know him as the dude who slit throats. That's pretty much it, because that's what he became prominent about. But I mean, when you look at his career as a running back, it's insane what he did. I mean, still to this day, it is insane to just watch what he could do at USC and then what he went on to do with the Bills. I mean, the Bills were such a horrific team. They were an awful team, and O.J. Simpson was the bright, shining star. This 2003-yard season, that's not the only season. He came close to eclipsing 2,000 yards a couple other times as well. I mean, this guy, he was a workhorse every single year of his entire career. But as I said, he did it in only 14 games. So if he had 16 games, imagine how many more yards he would have. Because he also, another reason why I put him above everybody else for the 2,000-yard rushers, he averaged the most yards per game. He averaged 143.3 yards per game. Let me say that again. 143.1 yards per game. His biggest game where he had the most rushing yards was 250 yards. He had 250 yards in one game. That's what I mean, man. O.J. Simpson was a beast at running back. He was so fucking good. And the fact that he did this in 14 games, which was averaging 143.1 yards per game, which, by the way, I said, that is more, far more than the rest of these guys from 1 to 9 on this list. That he demolished them in that one. Everybody else was either 131 yards, 128, 129. Nah, OJ's averaging 143.1 yards per game. So to me, OJ Simpson had the most impressive 2,000-yard season. Still, to this day, he was the first one to do it, and I still think he is the greatest to do it. But regardless, only 9 guys on this list. That just goes to show you how difficult it is to do that, how crazy it is to do that, and how awesome it is to see when they do that. I mean, to me, it actually sucks that we didn't get to see Saquon go for the record, especially because it was against the New York Giants, his old team. Would have been very ironic to see him break the record, but also it would really suck if you're the Eagles and he goes out and breaks an ankle. Because one thing throughout Saquon's career, he's injury prone, so you'd rather have him ready for the playoffs. And so I can't blame them for making the smart decision to sit him. But as a football fan, it sucks to have that ripped away from us. But like I said, that's why it's all the more impressive that O.J. Simpson did it only in 14 games. He should have been averaging 143.1 yards like O.J. Simpson did, and maybe Saquon would be eclipsing that. But so that's my top five for this week. And enjoy the last weekend of the regular season of football. It's probably going to be a weird one because it's a bunch of shitty teams who have nothing to play for. But we have a couple of games where they got something to play for, especially that Sunday night football matchup. All right, y'all. Enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.